I do. More than I can thank him for. If you got your Bible, we're going to be reading all over it. I'm going to try to move as quick as I can. But I just want to do what God wants. Amen. I want God's will to be done. And I want what the Lord wants. And sometimes people testify and I say, Lord, if one more testify, somebody'd move. God, just turn it loose. I'm not going to be reading those first verses. I've got so much scripture to cover. We're going to be covering it as we go. We were sitting yesterday. We were at Kroger, my wife and I. We were pulling out. I don't know if y'all's wife ever done this. She started telling me how to drive. And I looked over at her and I said, stay out of my business. And she said, I'm your wife, I'm always going to be in your business. I'm sure some of y'all men have heard something like that. But my wife, she gets in my business. Sometimes people get in your business. Sometimes when people get in your business, you don't like it. Well, why don't you like it? Well, you get offended. That's what generally happens. People stick their nose in your business, you get offended. Sometimes you get angry. Sometimes you get defensive. Have you ever had brother better than you stick his nose in your business? You know who brother better than you is? I mentioned this last Sunday. It's when they look at you and they say something like, my kids don't act like that. You know, a preacher will bite his tongue off trying to stay right with God in a churchyard when somebody says something like that. I've heard it. I heard a lady one time said this, and she said this to her sisters. We were at a get-together, and I heard something going along these lines. She said, you know, if y'all get y'all's hearts right, God will bless y'all to have what I have. Woo. Those kind of comments scare me. You see, brother better than you really has a problem fixing their own problems. All you really got to do is hang around long enough and you can see it. They can always tell you how to fix yours. See, people don't want people in their business. It's kind of like this and kind of like when you're trying to grow up. And I try to be as sensitive as I can to growing up in the lives of my children and other children and watching them and being patient just from what I've seen in my life. But you know, sometimes young people say, they get to the point, they say this, I'm tired of you telling me what to do. I'm ready to make my own decisions. I'm grown. Well, they're not really grown. Because you're still paying the gas, you're still paying her insurance. My daughter told me, she said, when I get out of high school, I'm getting me a condo in Atlanta, I'm getting me an Escalade. I said, good luck. See, sometimes these kids, and I've heard this, they say this, I'm tired of you telling me what to do, I'm joining the military. That's exactly the place they need to be, okay? See, but the truth is parents have a right to be in their children's business. So you not only have the right, but you have the responsibility. Now, there does come a time, and the Bible teaches this, and I really just don't have time to cover this, so I'm just going to have to, y'all pray for me, okay? But there comes a time when, you know, your kids grow up, and the Bible says a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and you got to back off. Because God's got to do some things, but there's also a time when you know that because you love them, you got to speak to them. See, you have the right, but you have the responsibility. A friend of mine told me this week, he said he's got a boy, and he was late for work one day, and I was talking to him. 11-year-old son, run away from home. They didn't find him until the next morning. He got his backpack, said, I'm out of here. I'm tired of you telling me what to do, I'll just leave. Well, they finally found him. But rebellion Rejection of instruction. Just tired of being told what to do. But the truth is, there's somebody that we all need in our business. And what I want to preach for just a few minutes about this morning is God in my business. Now, when we begin to think about this, what gives God the right to be in my business? Now, you can say that to other people. Now, my wife, because she's my wife, she has a certain right to be in my business. She's my wife. And as a parent, I have a right to be in my kids' business. I'm their parents. But there does come a time when I should recognize they're adults and mama and daddy, you have to turn loose. But what about God? See, God has the right to be in my business, and I'll tell you why. Because He is God. He is the Almighty. He has the authority. You see, sometimes when people get in your business, the reason you reject it is because they simply do not have the authority. I remember one time I was at a Pizza Hut, and I was trying to ask them why they took my check last time and they wouldn't take it this time, and I was frustrated. I didn't want to pay for pizza with a credit card. This is back before I had a debit card. I know things have changed, okay? As a guy behind me, he stepped forward and he started trying to tell me, and I just tell you, I'm flesh and blood. I said, you sticking your nose in somebody's business you shouldn't be messing with. Now, he quietened down, thank God. He didn't have the authority. But when God gets in your business, He has the authority. Amen. See, He is the creator. He is the creator of you and me. He is the creator of everything. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Then Colossians 1:16, our Bible school verse, says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And then the latter part of this verse says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. See, He has the authority to be in my business. The Bible teaches that He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Now remember the latter part of that verse. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Sometimes I wonder if people even realize, and I thought this as I was studying yesterday and meditating on this, when God looks down, and He looks at all these people that are mocking Him and all these news stations and all these people that are anti-God and they're speaking against Him, do they even realize that God holds their very breath? You see, we can't even guarantee our next breath. God holds it in His hand. And people don't even understand it. But it's because of His infinite grace and mercy. Why does He continue to show pardon and grace and mercy? He's God. He's not confined to what you and I are. Thank God. He is omniscient. That means He is all-knowing, all things. Psalms 147 in verse number 5 says this, great is our Lord and of great power. And His understanding is infinite. That means it's absolutely unlimited. Now, you and I are limited. I'm limited at my best. I'm nothing. Me trying to understand the mind of God, as I've heard it said, is like a minnow trying to survey the depths of the ocean. And if you know anything about the depths of the ocean, folks, we know more about outer space than we do about the deep sea. So if He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful and He's all-authority, what does an all-knowing God have to offer when He's getting into my business? And I thought about that, and here's a couple of things I want to give you. Number one, He sees. You see, He sees what you and I cannot see. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, it says, For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Then 15:3 in Proverbs says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And here's what you need to understand. God sees what we cannot see. Amen. One thing he sees is he sees the dangers. He has the full view. You see, sometimes when I'm trying to make decisions, honestly, no matter how hard I try, I have a very limited view or understanding when I make them. See, if I simply went by what I could see, it's what's right in front of me right now. Now, you could say that God has a 360-degree view, okay? He has more than that. You can say that God has a three-dimensional view, but he has more than that. I read a book by a scientist that talked about the seven dimensions of God. And I listened to it and I watched it and he tried to explain it. And folks, here's what I want you to understand. Smart people believe in God. The smartest people believe in God. But I want to tell you what kind of view God has. And what he sees, God has an eternal view. And here's what I want you to understand about that. Not only is he omniscient, but he's omnipresent. And here's what God is. God sees and he is in the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. And if he's there, it's like the song that Casting Crown sings, he's already there. Everything out in front of us, everything that we face, everything that we're going to face, God can see it. So why would I want God in my business? He sees what I cannot see. And if he sees it, he sees the dangers. He sees the outcome. He sees the results. Now I want to tell you something. Wouldn't you like to have this kind of vision? You remember the show that used to come on a few years ago where the guy got Tomorrow's News Today? But the thing about having this newspaper is he had to be real careful that everything he did with it was the right thing. His responsibility with having this newspaper is he would read it and he would find out where something would go, was going to happen, and he would go and try to help somebody. You know what people were always trying to do? Which horse is going to win the race? What are yesterday's lottery numbers? You see, that the Bible says we ask and we receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it and receive it upon our lust. Yeah. But if we know that God sees what we can't see and he's God and he sees the outcome, I tell you what we ought to be asking for is God. Yeah. Should I marry this person?
Yeah. Come on.
God. Should I quit my job and move my family off because I have a better job offer? God. Which school should I go to? God, what should I do for your honor and glory? You know, God sees what you and I cannot see. He sees the outcome. And if I'm willing to surrender to completely to the will of God, now here's what we want. We want the benefits of God without surrendering to God. But if I surrender to God and I'm following, here's what I'm looking for. No more bad deals. No more bad relationships. No more bad decisions. See, it's like this. Have you tried asking God into your business? You see, if he sees and he sees the dangers and he sees the outcome, tell you what else God does. God knows. We played a song last Sunday that said, God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows the answers to our prayers. But I want to give you just a few things this morning. God knows more than we do. Sometimes we want to argue with God. And we don't want to do God's will. But folks, let's just admit it. God knows more than you and I know. Job said, speaking of God, in Job 9 and verse 10 says that God, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. And I like this verse, Romans 11:33. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? See, he has none. There's nobody above him. I guess the question is, will I simply allow him to be above me? See, God knows more than we do, and I guess we have to admit that we don't know as much as we think we do. You know, people today, it seems like in our society, and folks, I'm so thankful that we're still in a country that we can worship and praise God. But you know, let's just be honest. This got to where in the past couple of years, people were afraid to say Merry Christmas. There's a preacher, there's a mayor, governor, whoever he is out here in Texas, sent word around to the churches that they needed to send their text of their sermon in to have it approved. Let me tell you, we've not seen the last of that. People think that they know more than God knows. You don't know more than God knows. And putting the word of the week up on the sign and thinking you can do it without God is catastrophe. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." See, he knows more than we do. We do not know as much as we think we do. See, it's best to let God be in our business because he knows the way. And there is a way that we should go, and there's a way that we should not go. I want to go the way that God wants to go. Amen. I say I do, but it's tough, isn't it? You know, we played a song just a minute ago, Unanswered Prayers, before service. But I tell you, when God is pulling you and through his Holy Spirit one way, and your emotions and feelings are pulling you another direction, you got to decide whether or not you're going to follow God. I can't tell you how many prayer requests I've heard for a mother or a grandmother or an aunt wanting to ask prayer for a daughter or a granddaughter or a niece or a nephew because they're in a relationship that is problem. And it's causing them a problem. And you know what they say? Well, I love them. That's why you ought to be careful who you date. You get in a relationship with somebody that's not right with God, and then you say, well, I've fallen in love with them. What about what God's will is? Amen. If we start out seeking God's will, God knows more than I know, and he knows more than you know. God knows the best way. Well, I want to tell you something else. God cares. You ever had anybody come try to tell you something and it's almost like they're going to try to tell you what you need to do, but you know you just don't feel like they really care about you? Everybody's got something to say about somebody else. Everybody can easily see the problem that their brother has, but they cannot see their own. And sometimes the reason we have a hard time accepting or even being open or allowing people in or listening to the instruction of others is because we really just don't know if they care or not. And maybe we feel like they don't care. But I want to tell you something, folks. God cares. Amen. He cares. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says this. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And I thought about that, and I was looking at, well, what kind of love is that that God has? What kind of care? It's this. Number one, it's an educated love. That means that he looks at you, and he loves you, and he cares for you, but he knows everything about you. I've counseled with people, I've talked with people, and the truth is, when you get right down to it, and it takes a while to get to this depth, they just don't know and believe that God really loves them. Because they just don't think that God can love them like they are. Here's what I want you to understand about God. He knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway. Now folks, it's an educated love, it's an enduring love. Here's what an enduring love is. He loves you no matter what you do. You can disappoint him. Yes, you can. And a lot of us, I mean, we have loved ones in our life that we care about that have disappointed us. But let's just be honest. If that's your child, you love them. And here's the way God is. He loves you no matter what you do. Another thing, I like this one. It's an all-encompassing love. All-encompassing. What does that mean? It's for everybody. It's for everybody. That means it's for all people. And when it said, for God so loved the world, that means the world. I don't mean a select group, and some people were chosen to go to hell. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not just not a Calvinist, I'm an anti-Calvinist. Okay, I'm going to say that. Never as a pastor would I allow Calvinists to stand in this pulpit. Amen. Ain't happening.
Amen.
He loves you, and He can save you. And the Bible says He saveth such as come unto Him. Now, folks, it's an everlasting love. You and I change. Give us enough time. But I thought about this book, and I thought about the other day I was sitting around. You look at the political stuff going on. I've got to where I don't even listen to the radio no more. Somebody say something to me, did you hear about it? And I said, no, I didn't hear about it. I don't have cable. I don't have time to watch a whole lot of that. I used to listen to it going down the road every day, and it got to where it turned my stomach. Well, you know, when I turn it on and I listen to it 20 years later, it's the same stuff I heard 20 years ago. And some of those people that I was so worried about, what their impact was going to be and what they were going to do, they're just a memory. They're jokes on Saturday Night Live. And we hold up the Word of God and we say, He has not changed. His Word has not changed. His truth endures to all generations. And He is an everlasting love for you and I. He will not change. And the Scripture says, the same verses that I heard read in Sunday school when I was just a boy, He's gone to prepare a place for us. And if He goes, He'll come again. I came in this morning and I looked on the wall right out here and I looked at how many names, Brother Tom, have been added since I've been at the church. I went through and I looked at the funerals and I thought about how many of our brothers and sisters have gone to be with the Lord. And I'll tell you something, folks, in another 20 years, many of us will be there with them. But I'll tell you, when we get there, He's going to receive us, because this love is also in a redeeming love. It's a love that He loved us so much that He stretched out His arms and He died on the cross because He loved us. You see, He cares. So if I want somebody in my business, I want somebody that really cares about me.
Amen.
As too many people have gotten involved in somebody else's business for their own benefit, but not God. See, God's in your business because He cares about you. You see, we looked at what does God have to offer, and I want you to consider just a couple of things. Well, He has things to offer. He sees, He knows, He cares. But what does He do in my business? And this is generally getting to the part that people don't like. Here's what God does. He directs. See, when God gets in your business, He's in your business. Now, here's the alternative, is to direct ourselves. This is kind of where people have got today. You hear this saying, and I've heard people say it, well, I'm a self-made man. Well, I just want to stand here before you and tell you that I'm nothing without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and I want to say I am what I am by the grace of God. Some people say, well, I can do all right by myself. I can do whatever I need to do. I want to do what I want to do, and I'll be fine without God. People say, well, I can make it on my own. I don't need God. That scares me, because that's what I believe the unpardonable sin is. It's not failure. It's not the things that you and I deal with every day, and the devil brings them up and says, oh, look at that. You got that and you got this in your life. You can't be saved. Folks, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
The question is, are you under the blood or not?
Amen.
But when you say, I can do it on my own, I don't need God, here's what you're saying. I don't want God in my business. My life is not going to be directed by God. I'm on my own. Remember the verse in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, what about when you allow God to direct? These are my life verses. Proverbs 3:5-7. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, here's what God does. This is why people don't want God in their business. God tells you what to do. Doesn't he? And he tells you where to go. He tells you how to live. And then he does this. You believe God has the gall to do this? He tells you what not to do.
Amen.
He tells you who not to hang around. That's God. See, people say, I don't want anybody in my business. That's why people aren't coming to the Lord today. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now here's the difference. Are you going to bow now? Are you going to wait till you're standing before him in judgment and you have to bow because you will not, no matter how strong you think you are, be able to stand in the presence of a holy God and not fall prostrate on the ground?
Amen. Wow.
He's God. And I tell you what, he's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you how to live, and I tell you how he does it. Right here. This is his book. It has authority. It has authority over my life. That's why people are offended by this book. Because if this book is true, then it's true what it says about them. And if it's true what it says about them, then it shows where they're at. Now, folks, he directs, but have you considered the benefits from being under God's direction? There are tremendous benefits. Now, have you ever heard kids say this? Oh, you get around the playground. My daddy can whip your daddy. Yeah. I heard them. Yeah. My daddy played basketball. My daddy beat your daddy. Now, let me just tell you something. My God, he can beat all gods. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. There ain't nobody like him. He can overcome all evil. He can overcome all obstacles. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he has no one that can stand in his presence and not bow. See, that's a benefit from being under God's direction and God's care. See, he directs, but I'll tell you what else he does. He corrects. That means when I'm wrong, he corrects me. You know, the Bible teaches us that a father who loves his children will correct them.
Amen.
Listen to what this scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 7. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now here's what I want us to understand. I've had people come to me and they say, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. And they're troubled in their heart. And I say, why? They say, well, I failed. Well, how do you feel about it when you fail? Well, it really bothers me. I feel God pricking my heart. You know what I tell them? That's evidence that you know him. See, the problem we have today is when you got people stand up and say, I can do it on my own. I don't need God. That's evidence they ain't got him. But when you fail and you feel the chastening hand of God, I tell you what that is. That's evidence that you are saved by the grace of God. If you can go anywhere you want to go and not feel the Holy Spirit convicting you, if you can do anything you want to do and not feel the Holy Spirit convicting you, maybe you don't have it. But if you go there and you hear God speak to you, that's evidence that you've got it. See, I was saved when I was 12 years old. And I remember being saved. I was raised in church. But there come a time, just like these other teenagers that I mentioned, I was given a fair amount of autonomy. I remember going some places, and I remember one time I was in this place, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and pricked my heart. This is what God said. He said, "You don't want me to come back and find you in this place." And I remember God speaking to my heart, and it was like that same cold water being poured on me when God saved me. And I've had God speak to me a few times since, and that hand and that voice, that's the correcting hand of God. But what you have to do is you got to say, "Yes, God, I want you in my business." Some people say, "I don't want God in my business." Let me tell you something I do.
Amen.
I want God in my business. See, He directs, He corrects, and I thank God for this. Sometimes He intervenes. Sometimes God intervenes. And here's what intervention is. It's when you get into somebody's business with the intention of saving them. Now, what does a loving God do in our business that you never want Him to stop doing? I tell you, the biggest fear I have in my life would be for God to write Ichabod over the door of my house. You study the story in the Old Testament. When they wrote Ichabod, it means the glory of the Lord has departed. That's when God says, "I'm not going to visit you anymore." That's when God says, "You want to be on your own? You want to do it without me? Okay, I'm gone." And when He says, "I'm gone," He don't come back. I want God in my business. I want God in my marriage. Because without the Lord in my marriage wouldn't be all right. I want the Lord in my relationship with my children because I love my boys and I don't get it right all the time, but I want God in it. I want God in my work. When I get up on Monday morning and I go to work and I'm driving down there, a lot of times I'm just like you dread it. But when I get up, I'm praying and I'm asking God, "Have you ever said, 'Lord, help me today? Lord, help me to be productive. Help me to do the best I can be.'" And if you don't feel like that's where God wants you, do you pray and say, "God, I want you in my business enough that I'm going to let you direct me and show me where you want me to go?"
Yeah. Amen.
I want God in my business. I want God to intervene. Have you ever said, "Lord, thank you for keeping me from that circumstance"? Yeah. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Can anybody here say, "Thank you, Lord, for keeping me from marrying and fill in the blank"? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you say, "Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from that addiction"? You see, the Bible talks about in one place about where the bed is narrow and the short covers are short. Sometimes we got people in trouble in our families and our lives, and we start praying for them, and you can see when God gets in their business. I heard a man that was preaching up at Whitworth Memorial one time, and a man stood up, and he's talking about his son was in trouble. He said, "I told my son," I said, "son, me and the Lord done got your number." And this boy knew who his daddy was and knew how he had power with God, and he said, "Daddy, whoa, whoa." In other words, he was afraid of what God was going to do to him because he knew he wasn't right. But when God gets in your business, it'll disrupt your life. He will intervene in your life and He can deliver you from anything that ails you. Now, folks, I believe in deliverance. See, sometimes I thank God for intervening. But I want to tell you, perhaps the greatest and most important thing that God does in our business is He calls. God calls. If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you might have already heard God call this morning. You heard Him speak to you and you felt that knock at your heart's door. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, the scripture says this. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." See, He calls us to repentance. And he calls us to his presence. That's why sometimes we can be in his house and the spirit feels so sweet and so rich that we want to stand and maybe we want to testify. Sometimes we feel that call and we just, it's just something that's calling. It's God calling us to an altar to speak to him. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." See, he calls us to repentance, he calls us to his presence, and he calls us to his purpose. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the verses that are to the Laodicean church. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, and I'll sup with him and he with me." See, God's calling. I still believe God's calling people. I still, and here's the thing about that I want to tell you. Can I tell you how blessed you are to be in a church where the Spirit of God dwells? That you can hear and feel the Holy Spirit and God can call you and you can have an altar that's open. Do you know that there are churches today that don't even give altar calls anymore? They don't have altars. What do? Just go home and do better for yourself and come back next Sunday? When do we come to the point that we start using them to the extent that we need to enlarge them? And I can tell you a vision that I have, folks, that when we do expand this church, the altars in this church are not big enough. He's calling us. You know, the thing I would fear the most is not that God would be in my business, but he'd quit talking to me. That he'd let me be by myself. That I'd get up in the morning and go to work and have to just fend for myself. See, the Bible says he will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Folks, I pray that. I pray for God's direction. I pray for God's help. I don't want to be by myself. Now, here's the question. What are we going to do? Option number one. I'm going to invite him in. I'm going to say, "Lord, I want you in my business. I know there ain't no people out there that maybe I would want in my business, but God, I want you in my business." Psalms 139:23, I love these verses. Keep going back to them. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know what God's saying? Or David's saying right here, he said, "Lord, my life's an open book. I want you just to get in it." See, God already knows. He knows everything about you. But hear what David was saying. He said, "God, put your hand right here in my life. Guide me, teach me, show me. Anything that's not right with you, help me to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want you in my business." Here's option number two. Some people are going to do this. Now, I don't want anybody to do this, but there may be somebody here this morning. It's decision time. You're going to say, "God, I invite you in." Or you're going to say, "God, get out of my business." Luke chapter 19, verse 14, the last part of the verse, the parable there. Here's what they said. "We will not have this man to reign over us." That's what a lot of the world said today about God, about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. I'm going to say, "Lord, I invite you in. I ask you to lead me." You know, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior and God's speaking to you, you can get saved right where you're at. All you got to do is surrender. But you got to say, "God, I want you in my business." God may want you to walk down here and come and pray. I'll tell you something. I can't tell you how great it is to be in America to where we can have church like this. To where we can preach without getting it approved by the government. To where there's not an armed guard standing at the back door afraid we're going to say something. And then to be in the Bible Belt. Because it's not like this everywhere. My son was in Minnesota this week and he called me and he started telling me about what he was seeing up there. Couldn't wait to get back to Georgia. Now, folks, they're saved all over this country, and God showed me that. But here's what I want you to understand. You drive up and down the road, there's a church just about everywhere you look. But it's getting to where more and more and more parking lots are empty. People don't come to God because they don't want God in their business. I tell you, the biggest fear I have is God would not be in my business. Maybe somebody here this morning, as they get ready with a song, maybe somebody needs to do business with God. You know, if you own a business or you work, I want God in my business, literally. I don't want to go to work and God not be in my work. I don't want to try to be a husband and not got God not be in my marriage. I don't want to be a parent and think that I can do it without God helping me. And Lord knows I don't want to be in this church and try to serve the Lord without God guiding me. I want God in my business. As I play this song, if you're here and God spoke to your heart, as you would if you stand to your feet, if you'd like to come pray about whatever it is, just say, Lord, I want you. When you want Him, Bible says when you search for Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. Worst thing could happen to you for God to leave you alone. As they play this song, if you'd like to come pray, would you pray, please?